Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I tell you, this has been a trying week for me, but I walked it out, I worked it out, and I seeked it out. And I pray that you did the same in the midst of a struggle or in the midst of doubt or in the midst of pain. I pray that you walked it out by faith, that you worked it out by faith, and that you seeked it out by faith. I tell you, this has been a blessed teaching series, When Faith is Troubled. This is Carnita Smith, and I just want to say thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast. Thank you for being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Yahweh God, God the Father. And as we conclude this teaching series, When Faith is Troubled, when your faith is troubled, as I conclude this particular series in walking, working, and seeking out faith through the passage of Matthew chapter 14 and maneuvering back and forth through verses 22 through 33. Now, Peter shows us how to walk it out, work it out, and seek it out through Christ. And we will look at the last two verses of this particular chapter of Matthew 14. We will focus in on verses 32 and 33. So I encourage you to get your Bibles ready, get your heart prepared, and your eyes focused on Christ. Now, I'm using some particular words here. Bibles ready, heart ready, and your eyes focused on Christ. And as we read through this passage, you'll see the reason why I selected those particular words. Now, before we start, I would like to just usher up a praise of prayer or a prayer of praise. And I just encourage you, brothers and sisters, to pray with me as we conclude this particular teaching series, When Faith is Troubled. So if you could touch and agree, and we're just going to go to the throne of grace with humbleness and reverence. Father, we just exalt you and we just thank you, Lord God, for what you've already done in our life, for what you are doing right now in our life, and Lord, for what you are going to do in our life. Lord, we to you as an offering of praise and thanksgiving unto you, because you are Jehovah God. You are the one true God. You are the God of the beginning and the end. You are Alpha and Omega. Lord, you have equipped us to do things that we would not have even imagined to do. Because of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be your children. You've grafted us in, Lord God, by way of Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross and by way of the Holy Spirit who resides in our hearts, those who confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord God. Now, Lord God, if you would prepare our hearts, reveal to us the sweet nuggets in your passages, in your word, Lord, that you want us to see, that we would be able to grow and go in faith by your amazing grace, that we would be your earthen vessel, your instrument, your handiwork, Lord God, to lead somebody to you. to lead somebody to the ark of salvation. Lord, we exalt you. We come ready, willing, and able to receive sweet word, good food for the soul at the banquet table of grace. We pray in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ, and amen. Well, praise the Lord, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me. And for those of you who are listening to the broadcast for the first time, thank you for just allowing this broadcast to be a ministry to your heart, to your soul, that it is a ministry to disciple you so simplistically through the Word of God. And that's what this ministry is about. We expose the Word of God, we expound on the Word of God, and we extend the Word of God to those who may not know Him, and that's capital H-I-M, H-I-M, Jesus Christ, who may not know Him in the pardoning of their sins. So welcome to the broadcast Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are going to saturate ourselves in the Word of God, that the movement of the Holy Spirit will continue to grow you and move you out of a comfort zone by faith, that you would be exercised and stretched to come and know Him. And this is what Paul said in Philippians 3:10. And if you will, move over to hold your place in Matthew 14, but let's move over to Philippians 3:10. And for the benefit of it being amplified and more expressed in a deeper way in the amplified translation, you may follow along in your translation, and it might be a lot shorter than the amplified, but listen to how it is expressed by Paul, but in the amplified translation. Now, this is Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 10. And it reads this way: "And this, so that I may know Him, experientially becoming more thoroughly acquainted with Him," and that's capital H-I-M, "understanding the remarkable wonders of His person more completely, and in that same way experience the power of His resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers," that's you and me, "and that I may share the fellowship of His suffering by being continually comforted or conformed," by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death, dying as He did. Philippians 3:10. And verse 11 goes on to say, "so that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead." Amen. Now, again, this is a believer's desire, is that we may know Him. And I love the way the Amplified Translation expounds on that and amplifies that particular verse. And it expresses so beautifully, that I may know Him and in the same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers. So in order for me to experience, or you to experience Christ, experience God, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does the work in us to experience the Father. And it goes on to say that I may so share the fellowship of his suffering by being continually conformed. And I like that. Continually conformed, shaped, molded. God is the potter. We are the clay. That we would be continually conformed inwardly, not on the outside, on the inside. That our heart, that our soul, our mind to think, our will to choose, and our emotions would be in sync with the will of God. That the soulish man would be conformed to the spirit man, who commingles with the Holy Spirit. The two have become one. Inwardly, into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did, so that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. Now, this is Paul expressing how he wants to know him so deep, so inwardly, to experience him. And this is what God wants each and every one of his children to do, is to experience him. So I encourage you to memorize, if you would, because the challenge was given to me to memorize Philippians 3:10, but in the Amplified translation. And it just opened a bigger light in my heart and mind to understand, for me, for you, to know him, and that's capital H-I-M, is so greater and so much bigger than we can even imagine. But God's love for his children, because he loved us so much, he gave up his son. He gave Jesus to us as a gift that keeps on giving. And he loved us so much, according to John 3:16, that whosoever believe in him will have eternal life. And so as we look at our point, our last point in this teaching series, Peter's focus. Now, the last two teaching series were point one being Peter walks. Point two was Peter's measurement. And now we are in, or focusing on, point three, which happens to be Peter's focus. So let's follow along, and if you would, follow along with me in reading Matthew chapter 14. And we'll read it in its entirety, not that long. But I want us to get the gist of this particular teaching series, when faith is troubled. So let's look at 14, and we'll begin in verse 22, focusing in on 32 and 33. So if you would, follow along with me. And immediately he compelled the disciples to step into and to go before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain privately to pray. And when night fell, he was there alone. Now the boat was already in the midst of the sea, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. And the disciples, seeing him walking on the sea, were startled, saying, "Is it a ghost?" And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus talked to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter, coming down from the boat, walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Verse 30. But seeing the storm or the strong wind, he became frightened. And as he began to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And this brings us to verse 32 and 33. And when they got up into the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Now, there's a lot of movement in this passage. And if you did not have the privilege to hear the first two teaching series of this teaching lesson, When Faith is Trouble, I encourage you to go back and listen to these the first two series or the first two points in this series. And, of course, you can do that by listening to it on the World Wide Web and scrolling through the selections and listening to the first two teaching tracks of this series. And we talked about Peter's walk in verses 28 through 29 in this passage, walked it out, keeping it short and simple. Peter walks in those two verses, and we saw how he was told to come. And when Peter's foot stepped out of the boat and laid his foot there on the water, his faith was ignited. Why? Because he was focused on Jesus Christ. But his faith was ignited to be exercised. He was exercising his faith when he took that first step out of the boat and on the water. Now, this is him walking out his faith. He had a measure of faith. We have a measure of faith, but in order for that measure of faith to be exercised, in order for that measure of faith to be stretched, we have to learn how to ignite it. Peter ignited his faith when Jesus said, come. He stated to Jesus, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. It almost sounds as if he challenged who he saw. He wasn't sure it was Jesus, maybe. They did indicate, is it a ghost, in verse 26. They, being the disciples, safely in the boat, but in fear because of the troubled waters and the wind and the movement of the boat rocking from left to right, they weren't sure if they were going to live or die. But Peter said, if it is you, command me to come. So we see this in verses 28 and 29 when Peter's faith was being exercised, stretched. So he literally walked it out on water. And so point two, we see in verses 30 and 31, Peter's measurement of faith. He had the measurement of faith that God gave him, just as he gives you and I. But listen to what Jesus said in verse 31. You of little faith, why did you doubt? And what happened in verse 30 and 31, we see Peter starting to fret, get frightened. He shifted who he saw when he exercised his faith. He shifted his attention on the problem, which happens to be the wind. He became frightened. He began to sink. And when he saw himself sinking in his circumstance, he cried out to Christ, saying, Lord, save me. In desperation. And he cried out to the Lord, and of course, immediately, Jesus in all of his sovereignty, Jesus in all of his love and mercy and his grace, he does what any father would do. And that is, he stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, yes, he was the loving father that we cleave to. And just like any father would, he would chastise us for not staying focused, for not believing that you can when you are focused on who can do this for you. Jesus was God himself in living flesh, but showing his divinity by walking on water, standing there, calling Peter to come. And so what happened? Peter had to work it out. And this is what I talked about on the last part two series, Peter working it out. Now, we're looking at Peter's focus on today. So, for the benefit, I want to reread verses 32 and 33. Now, keep in mind, Peter's measurement of faith is what it is. We have a measurement of faith, but in order for that faith that we have to be exercised. We've got to go through some struggle. Now, remember, struggles consist of a little suffering from time to time. Circumstances that may overwhelm us, that may feel as though it may be a tsunami of an experience. And I'm sure the disciples that were in the boat, they may have thought they were in a tsunami, a hurricane of some sort. They may not have known what to think. All they saw was the wind blowing and the water of the sea a raging and the boat going from being tossed from the left to the right. And that could be your circumstance today. I tell you, I have to share a little experience or testimonial of mine this particular week. As I focused on the point today, somehow or another, the loving God that we serve allowed me to experience Him by stretching my faith or allowing me to exercise my faith. And yes, the circumstance was heavy on my heart. And it was something that I wasn't sure I could handle. And God and His lovingness and His tenderness, He stretched out His hand and said, "Follow me. I will bring you through this, but you have to trust me and obey me." And that can be hard from time to time for a believer in Christ Jesus, experiencing struggles. Now, we read this in Philippians 3:10 when Peter indicated in that Amplified translation, he stated, "And that I may share the fellowship of His suffering by being continually conformed inwardly into His likeness, even to His death," dying as He did. And Jesus died a horrible death. He was crucified on the cross. And again, Paul said, "For me to know Him," he knew he had to experience some suffering. And if you don't know the story of Paul's life and his ministry, he went through some struggles. He fought a good fight. He kept the good faith. And I tell you, he hurt. He was in a lot of pain physically, but his faith kept his joy inwardly. And this is what God wants from you and me. I had to experience the joy of the Lord is our strength. And even when we feel weak and beat down and heavy burden, and we don't know what the end is going to be, your faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. So your measurement of faith is important as a brother and sister in Christ, that God said He will bring us through any situation, any circumstance, as long as we trust Him and obey Him. So as Peter's measurement of faith was indicated by God, or by Jesus stating in verse 31, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" He doubted what? Because he focused his attention on the circumstance. He doubted because he realigned his attention on the circumstance, his surroundings. He did not stay focused on Jesus Christ. Now we're going to look at Peter's focus on today. This is the third point, Peter's focus. And in short, I like to say or call this, seek it out. Seeking out Christ Jesus. Now, as we saw, Peter walked it out on water, of course. Peter worked it out because of his little faith and his doubt. And he lost focus. Now, Peter is seeking it out. Seeking who? Seeking his faith. Who is his faith? Christ Jesus, right there on the water. If you notice, he said, he cried out to the Lord in verse 30 and said, save me. And Jesus, in his love and grace, he stretched out his hand and did exactly what Peter asked of him to do. And in verse 32, and when they, Jesus and Peter, when they got up into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, isn't that just like God? That when we hold on to his unchanging hand, when he orders our steps through his word, when we walk by faith and not by sight, unfortunately, Peter walked by sight when he lost focus. And now, in verse 32, when they got up into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, that's encouraging to me, and I pray that it's encouraging to you, because now we have cleaved to Christ himself. We are focused on the very one who can cease a storm in your life, who can rectify any situation. He can resolve anything that appears to be unreconcilable. He can heal the brokenhearted. He can make the lame walk. He can make the blind see. And some of us who may have physical abilities to see, we can still be blinded, like Paul. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. And he was killing Christians, and you could not tell him anything different. He believed what he was doing was right. But one day, in the book of Acts, Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. And he spoke to him after he blinded him with a bright light. Had to get his attention, had to cause a little suffering in his life, a little struggle, something that would draw him in to Christ. And this is our faith. When God allows a storm to pass through, to come into our lives, whatever it may be, you know your storm. You know your struggle. You know what you're dealing with right now. Some of us have just come through or out of a storm. Some of us are going into a storm. And some of us are preparing for a storm. Now, what that storm may be, that is between you and God. But it is my encouragement through these passages that you seek it out. And the it is him. Seek him out. Focusing on Christ. Verse 32, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, my commentary that I read, one of my commentaries that I read concerning this particular verse states it this way. And I thought this was very intriguing because it helped me better understand Jesus being who he is. Listen to this. He takes care, talking about Jesus, takes care of the hardships endured by his followers as they follow him on the way. Now, this is Christ. He takes care of the hardship endured by his followers, that's you and me, as we follow him on the way. Throughout our life, our journey, while we yet have breath in our lungs on this side of heaven, Jesus takes care of our hardships. We endure them. If you notice in verse 32, the wind ceased. We have the Lord in our boat. The wind ceases. Now, keep in mind that there were records of miracles taking place prior to this miracle in chapter 14, verses 32 through 33. Prior to that, there were other miracles that took place when Jesus fed 5,000 people in chapter 14, verses 14 through verses 21. So several miracles have taken place in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, prior to this one with Peter walking on the water. So the record of these miracles in this chapter implies now, it implies that during the time that Christ was being rejected by people in the religious and political circles, now these are the verses prior to 22 and 33, and you may want to read them for yourself, the entire chapter of 14 in Matthew. The commentary goes on to say that he and his followers were in a deserted place and on a stormy sea. Think about the backdrop of the setting. A deserted place and a stormy sea. Now that could be you and me, and it very well might be. It was me this particular week. I felt I was the only person in this particular situation that took place in my life. I felt I was all alone by myself, struggling with what I should do, what I shouldn't do, when I should do something, when I shouldn't do something, uncertain if I should, and if I did, what will I lose? I was focusing on the storm when I should not have been. I should have been seeking him out, regardless of what the end would be, regardless of how my emotions were feeling, regardless of the thoughts that were being entertained in my mind. Now, this very well could be you. You may have experienced some things like this. And again, he and his followers were in a deserted place and on a stormy sea. Whatever the situation, my brothers and sisters in Christ, whatever the situation, he able to provide for your need and carry them through
the hardships. He did it for me. Why? Because I realigned my focus. I seeked him out. I seeked him out through prayer and his word. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the word of God. We are not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him and trust him. Obey him. He will direct our path. But we have to let him. We have to learn how to not doubt. Our faith trumps doubt. Faith conquers doubt. Faith conquers fear and doubt. Did I experience the two? Yes, I did. But when I seeked him out and realigned my focus that I would not sit soaking sour in my fear, in my doubt of what I know God the Father can do. Now, this is what Peter and the disciples realized in verse 33. And let's read verse 33. And those who were in the boat. Now, who were those? Those were the remaining of the disciples. They all did not get out of the boat and walk on water. Only Peter. He was the only one that wanted to know if that they saw was Christ. And it says in 33, and those who were in the boat worshiped him. Now, keep in mind, in verse 32, and when they got up into the boat, the wind ceased. Jesus and Peter got in the boat. And the rest of the disciples were there. The winds ceased. So everything became calm. And then here's their faith again in verse 33. And those who were in the boat, what did they do? They worshiped him. I can just imagine them bowing their head and worshiping him, giving thanks to the Holy One, giving thanks to the only just and righteous one, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, in this particular verse, my commentary reads this way: to recognize that the Lord is the Son of God is to realize that he is equal to God, indicates that the disciples acknowledge the Lord's divinity. So hold your space, your place in Matthew 14, and let's move over to John chapter 5. And let's look at what or how the verses read in John chapter 5, verses 18 through 30, concerning the authority of the Son, the authority of Jesus. Now, this is showing us divinity, his being Jesus' divinity, just as the disciples realized that you are truly the Son of God. Now, for Jesus to walk on water, that shows his divinity, that he can. For the winds to cease, that shows the power of his divinity. and for them to know and believe that he is the Son of God, something happened. A change took place. Their faith was assured when they saw the ceasing of the wind. So read along with me in John chapter 5, verses 18, and we're going to read through 30. And I'm going to read this in the NIV or the New International Translation, starting at verse 18. And it reads this way. I'm going to start in 16. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." He's talking about Father and now the Son. He says, "I too am working." Verse 18, "For this reason they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Don't miss these sweet nuggets as we read through these verses in John 5. "But he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God." Verse 19, "Jesus gave them an answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." Now let me rest right here. "So that you will be amazed." Think about the disciples in verse 33 of Matthew 14. Now, were they amazed or were they not? I would like to think they were amazed. They even said, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." See, in the beginning, they didn't know that the figure that was walking on water, they could not decipher if he was a ghost or if it truly was the Christ. So Peter challenged what he saw. He said, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Reading this in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 28. So, as we've read in John, indicating that so that you will be amazed, this is in verse 20 of John 5, so that you will be amazed. Miracles. So that we will be amazed, so that our faith will be solid, firm. 21 in John chapter 5. "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but he entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Think about that. If you do not honor the Son, you don't honor the Father who sent him. Now that's food for thought. Let's read on. Verily, very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out, those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Verse 30. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now, for the benefit of understanding what this particular passage is preaching to you and me, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you as you reread verses 16 through 30. Reread it. And even if you have to read it New Living Translation, I encourage you to do that. And for the benefit of those who may not have that particular translation, let me read that to you in the New Living Translation. And it just helps to deepen your understanding, our understanding of what the Holy Spirit wants us to know, wants us to hold on to. Listen to how it reads in the New Living Translation. Verse 16. So the Jewish leaders began harassing Jesus for breaking the Sabbath rules. But Jesus replied, my Father never stops working, so why should I? So the Jewish leaders tried all the more to kill him. In addition to disobeying the Sabbath rule, he had spoken of God as his Father, thereby making himself equal with God. Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing.
Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and tells him everything he is doing. And the Son will do far greater things than healing this man. You will be astonished at what he does. He will even raise from the dead anyone he wants to, just as the Father does. Verse 22, the Father leaves all judgment to his Son, so that everyone will honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. But if you refuse to honor the Son, then you are certainly not honoring the Father who sent him. I assure you, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Now that's salvation. Have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. And I assure you that the time is coming, in fact, it is here, when the dead will hear my voice, the voice of the Son of God. And those who listen will live. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted his Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge all mankind, because he is the Son of Man. Don't be so surprised. Indeed, the time is coming when all the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son, and they will rise again. Those who have done good will rise to eternal life, and those who have continued in evil will rise to judgment. But I do nothing without consulting the Father. I judge as I am told, and my judgment is absolutely just, because it is according to the will of God who sent me. It is not merely my own. Amen. And this helps deepen your understanding of the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus claims to be the Son of God. The disciples in Matthew 14, verse 33, clearly understood through their worshiping of him in the boat, stating, "Truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God." They got it. They see now, says the blind man, if you will. I was once blind, but now they see. What blinded them? The troubled waters, the storm, the wind, even trying to make out that figure that's walking on the water. They thought he was a ghost. But when they saw him pull Peter out of the water and snatched him by his hand and rebuked him by saying, "Ye of little faith, why did you doubt me?" This is what Christ is saying to you and me. Don't doubt me. Don't doubt my word. Regardless of your finances, don't doubt my word. Regardless of what your marriage may look like, don't doubt my word. Regardless of the loss of a child, don't doubt my word. Regardless of a relationship between friends, do not doubt my word. Your faith trumps doubt and fear. Regardless of what your health may look like or feel like, do not doubt my word. My word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Jesus can make whatever is crooked in your life straight, but you got to let him. By focusing your faith and your attention on him, do not get distracted. Do not get blindsided by something that's going to throw you off kilter. Maintain strong, steadfast, sure-footed faith through the word of God. Let's look at Galatians 2:20, and this should solidify your faith. So if you would, in your Bible, move over to the book of Galatians, that's right after 1 and 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, and you may be familiar with this particular verse, and I pray that you are. If not, I encourage you to familiarize yourself with chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2:20. And it reads this way: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. We just read that in verse 33 in Matthew 14, when the disciples said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We just read that in chapter 5 of the book of John, verses 18 or 16 through 30. Now we're rereading this in Galatians 2:20. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus gave his life up. They didn't take his life. He gave it up for you and me. This is Galatians 2:20. So now you see the importance of living by faith, walk by faith, not by sight. This life that we live in the body, it's going to get beat up. It's going to go through some storms. It's going to get abused. It is going to be mistreated. It is going to be persecuted. It is going to be talked about. But Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified not by Christ, but with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now, if you don't have Christ in you, then you won't understand any of this. So I want to stop, drop, and pray right now. For those who may be listening to this broadcast, it would be foolish of me to assume that every listener in this to this broadcast is a believer in Christ Jesus. So I want to lead you, somebody, into the ark of salvation. Now again, it's just my words, but it's your heart. Your heart has to believe by faith. Remember,
You can't please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. So let's stop, drop, and roll out in prayer right now. So brothers and sisters, if you would partner with me, and for that person that may be in your life that you know is not a Christ follower, or that you've been praying for them and interceding for them that they would give their heart to Christ, lift them up in prayer. Lift them up in prayer right now in the name of Jesus. So let's bow our heads and touch and agree. And for you who want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to bow your head, humble your heart, coming to the throne of grace with all humility, and pray these words and repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Lord, I surrender my whole heart to you. I know I cannot save myself. Lord, I need a Savior. And I believe by faith that you are my Savior. And I trust and believe in you and you alone. Please, Lord, come into my heart. Destroy what is bad for me inside my heart. Set me free. You are the anchor, my soul. I surrender it all to thee. For I know that you can restore me. I know that you can change me. I believe by faith that you are my all and all. You and you alone. Lord, I love you. I need you, and I receive you. Lord, forgive me for what I've said, for what I've done, and for how I've acted that I know was not right. Lord, I love you, I praise you, and I exalt you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, amen, brothers and sisters. Thank you for praying, and praise the Lord for you who have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I tell you, it is a beautiful experience of God to now come into the ark of salvation, that the Holy Spirit falls fresh on your heart, that he sits and lords over your life, that you start learning how to yield the Holy Spirit, that your faith will be stretched and your faith will continue to grow, that you would be conformed and continually shaped to Christ's likeness, and that you would get into a Bible-teaching church, that you would be baptized by submersion of water, and when you come up and arise, that you would shout hallelujah, that you are now a Christ follower, that you are telling others that I am saved, that I love Jesus, and he is now the head of my life. Hallelujah. I encourage you to get into a Sunday school class or a small group Bible study, that you would be discipled, that you would grow and go in grace, that you would become the earthen vessel that God wants to use to bring others into the ark of salvation. Tell somebody that you are a believer in Christ Jesus, that others would come and wanting to know, what must I do to be saved? Amen. So this brings us to the end of this teaching series, When Faith is Troubled. I pray and hope that this has been an encouragement to you as these scriptures and these scripture verses have just built me up this week as I focus my attention on seeking him out, seeking my faith out. My faith is capital F-A-I-T-H. Jesus Christ is our faith. He is the one that we seek out. He is the one that we walk it out, and he is the one that we work it out, and he will work in us the fruit of the Spirit, that they will come out love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. Faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit, that God would be pleased with us because of our faith being stretched, being exercised, and being focused on the one true God. Brothers and sisters, always remember that the grass withers and the flowers fade away season after season after season. But the one thing you can take to the bank and rest assured on is that the Word of God will remain forever and ever. God bless you, and thank you for being a faithful listener to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart.